You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Well, welcome back. MLB.com Extras, Texas Rangers edition. I'm Dave Raymond. T.R. Sullivan and T.R., here we are. It's the biggest week of the season. I think I saw a tweet from you not long ago. You're talking about this series against the Astros, maybe the biggest regular season series ever at the ballpark in Arlington.
Dave, I think so. Because, you know, if you go back to 96, I mean, the biggest series that year was in Anaheim. Same with 98. In 99, they pretty much ran away with the division. You know, 2010, 2011, they were pretty much in control of the division all year. 12, they kind of had the late season collapse, which, you know, just took them all of a sudden. And then in 2013, just about every game was a must-win for them because they were struggling to stay alive. But I don't know if I've ever remember a series in Arlington in September where the division title and first place in the division was on the line in a four-game series between the top two teams, with the Rangers being one of them. So, you know, as I look back, I don't think there's ever been a bigger regular season series in Arlington than this one.
That's a pretty good argument for that. Will there be a, you know, maybe better crowds as we get deeper into the week? Monday, I was a little surprised it wasn't a little bigger.
Yeah, I think, you know, they'll get to 40,000-45,000 by Thursday. You know, there's a lot of factors involved, but, you know, this team is still going to draw, and I think by the end of this week, with the, you know, the walk-ups are going to be good, and, you know, I think this series is going to kind of just grow to a crescendo, as it were. And game one was pretty spectacular. Two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth by Prince Fielder. Big win for the Rangers. I think that's just, you know, like you said, the first act.
Yeah, well, that was a fantastic start to the series. It's now a half game difference in the standings, and yeah, I went back. I think it was like May 17th, right in that range, and I was looking at the numbers, and the Rangers were like seven games under, 16-23. Since then, I have them unofficially at 62-44. They have been on a long run at this point of extended success. And from that same period, the Astros have been a sub-500 team. And, you know, again, over a long, long period of time. Does it look like that when you look at these two teams? If you're trying to, you know, if you're trying to just distill the moment, does this Rangers team look like the team that is playing better baseball, poised to perform better in these last couple of weeks and go into the playoffs? And if the Astros look like a team, in your estimation, it's just trying to hold on to a really good start?
Well, I think when you look at the Astros, and I still love those first three hitters, Springer, Altuve, and Correa. I mean, that's a pretty good top three right there. They got some bats in the middle of the order. They still got Dallas Keuchel and McHugh, and, you know, who knows what McCullers has. You know, I think the Rangers' bullpen is probably a little stronger at this point. You know, the Astros have had some rough patches, like every team has, and they're a young team going through their first pennant race. I mean, they won 92 or lost 92 games last year, so this is all new to them. But they're also young, and we've seen in the past, a lot of times, young teams really find that extra burst of energy in September, and what they lack in experience, they make up for and just being physically stronger at the end of the season. So I would not count the Astros, you know, crumbling. You know, they played a tough game on Monday night. The Rangers did too. You know, the Rangers have an experienced team. They got some firepower in the middle of their order. You know, a lot, you know, Prince Fielder and Adrian Beltre, they kind of come and go. You know, they have their moments and they have their rough spots. Both these teams are very, very good, but, you know, those Astros, they've got a lot of good young players who, you know, they're not going to go away.
No, it doesn't appear that they are. You know, both teams, just like any team this time of year, they're going to be searching for solutions to the various problems that, you know, invariably show up this time of year. And for the Rangers, that continues to be left field, and the struggle to figure that situation out. Hamilton, you know, trying to get that knee up to shape. It's just, you know, he's just not going to be able to contribute out there. And so lately it's Mike Napoli. What do you make of that move?
You know, Napoli is not going to play good defense. I mean, this is, this is a stretch defensively, but what they're hoping for is to get Napoli in the middle of the order, stretch out that lineup, you know, keep Mitch Moreland and Prince Fielder in the game. And it worked on Monday night. Napoli dropped a fly ball, but it didn't cost them a run. But you know, with Fielder and Moreland both in the lineup, they both hit a pair of two-run home runs so that night it looked great. You know, the Rangers have some guys who can play left field, but right now they're just trying to get Napoli's bat in the lineup against left-handers, which have been tough on the Rangers all year.
Yeah, well, it's always interesting when you have a spot as wide open as that one seems to be, and the solutions just haven't emerged. That figures to be one of the real off-season issues for this team, right?
Well, Dave, obviously they hope Josh Hamilton is full strength next year. You know, who knows if that's realistic or a reach or where it's going to go. But, you know, Ryan Rua, they thought was going to be one of their better hitters this year. You know, he had the broken foot to miss much of the season, and that really set him back. Otherwise, you know, who knows? He might have been able to, grab the role. So they got some guys who can play the position. They just have to keep them healthy.
Yeah, I guess I'd be a little leery of betting on Hamilton to be ready to play as many games as you're going to need him out there next year. But hey, you know, stranger things have happened. I want to ask about Jeff Banister. We haven't talked about him in months. How much credit should he be getting for the way this team has, you know, turned around a rough start and managed to play real well for these last couple months?
Oh, he's done an excellent job. You know, I think as a new manager, he had a breaking in period, and you know, he was still filling his way. You know, it's one thing to be a bench coach and another to actually pull the trigger and make the decisions. But I think the biggest thing that Jeff Banister has done, Dave, is, you know, he's kept the message simple. You know, win the game today. It's not a whole lot different than what Ron Washington did. You know, pitching, defense, run the bases aggressively, you know, execute offensively. I mean, it's pretty much a lot of it is the same message that Ron delivered during the, you know, when they had all those winning seasons. But, you know, Jeff came in here, didn't try to, you know, cause a complete upheaval. I mean, he's a good baseball man, just like Ron was. And, you know, he has a simple, strong message. Let's win this game today. Play the game right today. Play the game hard. You know, stay in the moment. Don't get caught up in where the Astros are or where the Yankees are or whatever like that. Just win the game today. And when that game is over, you learn from them and you move on. And, you know, when the Rangers, like you said, in May, when the Rangers were going bad, you know, he kept it together. He kept the team together. And it's paid off here in the end. And obviously he has to be in the conversation for manager of the year. I know there's some great candidates. You know, John Gibbons in Toronto's done a tremendous job. And, you know, obviously A.J. Hinch, Paul Molitor, you know, make an argument for him. Even Ned Yost, I mean, the Royals have been fantastic this year, but, you know, Jeff Banister is certainly in the mix.
Yeah, but I think I'd have to agree with that. One last thing for you. Robinson Chirinos, what's his status?
He has a little torn tendon in his shoulder, and it's keeping him from getting back into the lineup. So, you know, they're sticking right now with Chris Jimenez and Bobby Wilson, and that may be it for the rest of the year. I mean, those two guys have done an excellent job. Handling the pitching staff, you know, calling games defensively, you know, going in a timely hit here and there. I mean, they've done a pretty good job. So, you know, right now it's going to be tough for Chirinos to get back in the lineup. I mean, this is, you know, he's had a setback with the shoulder, and it's not good.
Yeah, that's one of maybe the more unsung stories of the year with this team is how well they've done behind the plate, given the instability there, handling this staff and just keeping this team in it. Great stuff as always, TR. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of this series. This is outstanding stuff. Great for baseball, great for the state of Texas. And I can't wait to see what we're talking about next week.
Okay, David.
All right, there we go. That's TR Sullivan, MLB.com Extras, the Texas Rangers edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.